I'm just amazed about what God's doing this morning. It was just on Monday, actually, I was talking to someone and I felt the Lord say, I want you to talk about this. And I went, oh, okay, because I haven't spoken, as you know, for quite a while. I keep being asked. And part of it's just been because I've been flat out and busy. And part of it, every time I've prayed, I felt like the Lord said, no, it's not yet. And this time I thought it'd be in January. And Ian was going to preach this morning and like this. And for the first time ever that I can remember, he had nothing to say. He spent 2 days seeking the Lord and praying and saying, Lord, and I did all the running around so he had time to prepare for this morning. And I came back and he goes, I don't know. I normally get something. And God went, that's because you have it. I went, all right, but January would have been nice. Anyway, so that's why I'm here this morning and I'm being obedient. And but it is a privilege. I'm just amazed at this morning at some of the things that have been coming and Paul and the choice of songs. You know, just about every one of those songs was an amazingly strong declaration of who God is and who we are. And my topic for this morning, which isn't going to go as I've got it down because of how the Lord's been telling me things, is what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? What are you thinking in different situations? And a disclaimer, if I share any stories, because I'm not sure where God's going with this, that sound like you, it's nobody here. But I just have a few things to share. One of the things is I heard recently heard this lady called Kelly McGonigal in one of the TED Talks. I don't know if you've heard of TED Talks, but they get some amazing people to come and talk, just do short talks on different things. And this lady was a health psychologist, and her main area of expertise was in the area of stress and stress management. And she said that she spent 10 years telling people that stress makes you sick. How many of us have heard that? Stress makes you sick and you have to avoid stress at all times. And then she changed her mind after 10 years of telling people these because of a study that was done in the States. It involved a study of 30,000 people over 8 years. And what they asked people over this time, how much stress have you had in the past year? The second question was, do you believe stress is harmful? And three, they searched public death records to find out who died. So she's telling this, that's how this particular study was done. And she said that 43% of people had an increased amount of dying, you know, those who had high stress. It increased by 43%, but only if you believed that stress was harmful for you. So those who had high stress for a year and believed that it was bad for you were likely to die by a lot more. But those who had high stress and just saw it as part of life and actually something that prepared you for facing challenges, they were the least likely to die, even than those who had only a little stress but believed that it was bad for you. Then that's a huge revelation, isn't it? So here's this thing that now science is showing us that what we believe is absolutely vital and important to our health. This is the science. Stress is a part of life. And how you faced it and what you believed about it was the cause of death, not the stress itself. Now, she also said that they did some studies and taught people, like they'd had different studies, that the short of it was that if people were taught that stress was good, then their body, they did some studies of their body cells, because one of the things that stress does is constrict your blood vessels and, you know, supposedly leads to heart attack and everything. But it only constricts if you believe it's bad. If you actually believe it's good and it's fine and it's just part of life preparing you to face the task, it stays open. That's amazing, isn't it? Like your body is actually responding to what you believe. And so she said that what you think, your body believes you. Your body, your physical body, your blood vessels, your heart, your energy system believes what you think and responds accordingly. And that should be a no-brainer for us. As God's kids, we've been taught that the spirit should lead and your body and emotions should follow. And from a God who made us in the first place, isn't that amazing? It's right, once again. You know? So I guess my question is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about stress? What are you thinking about your family situation? What are you thinking about work or God or others? What are we thinking is so important if you think about that, just for our physical health, let alone anything else? As I was preparing, the first verse that had come to mind, you know, was that verse, "As a man thinks, so he is." And I looked that up, and in the context, it was actually totally wrong. You know, I mean, it sort of didn't apply fully. And I went, well, Lord, that's no good, because when I use a verse, I like it to actually fit. And the verse that came to mind is, "Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring to life." And I went, Lord, that doesn't talk about thinking. And he went, look again. So I went up. I did a word search, which my husband does all the time, and I don't. But because I was on this particular track, I did. And the word for guard your heart in ancient Hebrew is actually L-E-V. And what it means is that it's this, the heart, according to the old Jewish system and that word, that Hebrews believed, the Jews believed, that the heart was your seat of thought and emotion. Not just our emotions, but our seat of thought and emotion. So the Good News Bible, this is Proverbs 4:23 for those who want to know. The Good News Bible says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." The Contemporary English Version says, "Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life." Common English Bible, "More than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it." New Century Version, "Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life." You know, the enemy has known that for a long time. We know in the Garden of Eden that that's what he attacked. He attacked Eve's thought life. You know, did God really say? It all starts with the mind and keeps going down. You know, I just saw a movie recently with the boys. I can't even remember what it was, but they again had this, you know, little devil, little angel, you know, do the good thing, do the bad thing, you know, who's going to win? And, you know, there's more truth to that than we care to think. We choose who wins. You know, there is that. The enemy is always trying to take us down the wrong path, have the wrong thoughts, because if he has that, he has us. And God, the only thing wrong with the picture is this little angel, and God's just so huge, you know, he could, you know, he had to stand behind you, but he's always whispering. And if you're really honest, his voice is stronger if you look for it, because he says his children will know his voice. And so we have to be really careful about what we allow our thoughts to dwell on. You know, that's so important that we really guard our thoughts. For me, Ian doesn't even know I'm going to share this, but it's been an interesting 9 months. Some of you know it's been very hard, different things. One of the things, for the first time ever in my life, I've had to guard the thought that the enemy's tried to bring that they'd be better off without you. This has happened so many times that it's not funny. You can imagine that. You know, I mean, I've never had that problem before. But I've been so tired that I've got more grumpy with them than usual. I've been working 2 time zones. My normal time zone has started here at 7 in the morning, gone through my New Zealand time zone. The office opens there at 10 p.m. our time. And goes through till 1, and I'm at the administrator in our family, so I've been doing a lot of that stuff. And so I've had very little sleep. And once you start in that pattern, then you also wake up during the night, because, you know, at 1 o'clock you're dealing with major stuff, and then at 4 a.m. you wake up cold or hot or needing to go to loo, and then your mind's going. So the major thing has been lack of sleep. But the enemy is no respecter of where you're at. In fact, the lower you are, the more likely he's to attack, because he knows he can get in. And that's, like, as Mary said, that's a lie. You know, and I've had to go, that's not true. But that doesn't mean that the feeling hasn't been there, because you're tired, you've been grumpy, you feel bad. And I've had to go, that's not true, God. You made me their mum. You made me Ian's wife. And they are better off with me, even though I don't feel it right now. We have to believe the truth no matter how we feel. That is what we need to do. We need to really guard our thought life. And it doesn't happen just to you if you've been sinful. It happens to you no matter what. I mean, Eve hadn't sinned when the enemy came and said, did God really say? You know, we all have these thoughts. So if the enemy's saying to you, you know, you're the only one who thinks that, you know, people aren't going to like you if they know that's what you're thinking, then that's wrong. We all get plagued with similar thoughts and same thoughts. And even subtle changes will change things, subtle changes to our thinking. One of the things is that I grew up in a Baptist church, and then I worked in the Anglican church, and one of the main things that component is that one of the strong teachings, which there's some truth to, is that you're a sinner saved by grace. And I totally was a sinner saved by grace. I am so thankful for that fact, that I did nothing to deserve where I'm at today. But that's who I was. Today, I'm a saint who sometimes sins. It's not my nature to sin. I fall into temptation and I do the wrong thing, but that's not who I am. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old has gone, the new has come. So I am no longer a sinner saved by grace. I'm a saint and a daughter of the King, and I sometimes get things wrong. Sometimes, too many times. You know, sometimes I think I'm getting things wrong more often than usual or more often than most people. And we all have that. But that doesn't change the truth that I'm the daughter of the King and I'm no longer a sinner. That change, if you start thinking that, will change your life. The other change that, and for me, you know, habits die hard, so you have to work on that. But we have to start to capture our thoughts and go, what am I thinking in this situation? And then go, that's true, that's not true. And one of the ways we can learn or get prompted that we're thinking the wrong thing is if there's either fear or lack of hope in our lives. If we wake up, I've woken up depressed because of these thoughts, because I'm tired and everything, and I can choose to, you know, I could easily become depressed. It wouldn't take much, especially when you're tired. I could have let those thoughts, you're no good, you know, the better off. I could easily entertain those thoughts. And guess what? By the end of the day, I'd be fully depressed. And probably wouldn't take all day. You with me? This is really important. We can't entertain those thoughts. Those thoughts will come, though, because the enemy is out to do that every second he can. Those thoughts are not going to be avoided, but the more we train ourselves to look for who the truth and for who we are, the less they're going to have an impact. Now, I recover from those sorts of thoughts much quicker now than I used to. You know, you're no good, you're worthless, you failed. All those thoughts come at me all the time, as often, if not more often, than they used to. Even though I feel better equipped, more adept at things and stronger in God, but now I can recognize them quicker and go, oh, go to hell. That's really where that thought belongs. And so I need, you know what I mean? It's about training. The Lord said to me this morning during the worship, it's about training. You know, like for most of us, if we're trying to get fit again, the first time I go for a bike ride or a run isn't so good. Actually, sometimes the second time's worse because I'm still tired from the first time, right? And I can go, oh, this isn't for me. My body is not made for this. It can't cope. Or I can go, my body better get used to it because I am going to be a fit person. And then I need to go through the pain and the sacrifice and everything it takes. So I keep going on my bike rides and my walks until I become fit. And then it becomes the normal thing I do. But I still have my bad days. Even when I'm super fit, I have my bad days. With the Lord, it's no different. The Lord said, why would you spend time training your body for all these things, but you don't train it for worshiping me? You know, when Ian said, stand up with your hands out, this is, it might be not the normal thing for you. Some of us feel really comfortable, but it's only because we've been doing it for a long time. Some of us go, this isn't me. Wrong. This isn't you yet. It doesn't feel comfortable, but actually it's you. Because God's called us to raise our hands. He's called us to dance. He's called us to clap. He's called us to shout for joy. So when we were worshiping this morning, then the amazing thing is that if you make your body do this, even though you don't feel, the first time I did that was like, you've got to be kidding. You're making me do what in church? Like, really, if you stop and think about it as an independent piece of thing, it's like, come on, I just want to stand. I mean, I can spiritualize it. I just want to stand in the presence of God. I don't want to be distracted by. But the truth is, if I make my body do this, what's it going to make me feel? Better. It's going to, you know, the first time it might not. But if we shout for Jesus, what's it going to do to our spirits? It's going to make us feel like, yes, we're on the winning side. Yes, God is worth living and dying for. Yes. I mean, you can use the excuse that you're English, but I've seen you on the football field. It doesn't cut it. You know, it doesn't cut it. We don't jump and dance up here because we're Kiwis. We do it because we've trained ourselves to do that. You wouldn't know in the last 9 months how very few times I felt like dancing and shouting when I've arrived. I've been so, so tired, but I've trained myself that God is worth it all, that He has told me to rejoice. He has told me to shout. He has told me to dance. He has told me to laugh, and I will do it. I will, because He says it, and anything He tells me to do is for my good. He's not doing it because He will die without it. You know, what He delights is not necessarily my dancing or my jumping, but the fact that I've obeyed. The fact that I've trusted His word, that when it says rejoice, clap, jump, dance, it's for my good. That Bible, that handbook isn't for Him. He knows it all. He knows how it operates. If we weren't here, He wouldn't need to write this book. So therefore, anything in that book is for my benefit. For my benefit. So when He tells me rejoice, when He tells me shout, when He tells me do, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, it's because He wants the best for me. So we have to train ourselves. We have to say, I might be English, but I'm going to bop. I might be English, but I'm going to shout. Do you get it? We have one boy who was extremely, extremely clingy when he was born. And before we had any kids, we didn't know what we'd have, right? But we said one thing we were going to do is we were not going to have shy kids. And people went, you can't do that. I went, yeah, God made them to rule. They can't do that very well if they're shy. God made them to minister. God made them to lead. And I can't have leaders who are shy. So we are not going to have shy kids. We had no problem with one, very little with the second, and one was absolutely a Klingon. You know what I mean? Mommy! Right? And I wasn't ready for that. And I went, well, that's interesting. And so we prayed and we went, you will say hello. And one of them, and I hope he's not going to kill me later, but I'm not saying who. He cut, you know.
He might not even hear,
so. Yeah, you don't know. I'm not saying which. But one of them, because he might hear it by tape, right? One of them would go, hello, yeah! And you know what? I praised him. Because he did it. He said hello. His response was, I hate this. I don't like it. My mum is making me do it. But he obeyed, did it, and went away. So, you know, there were a few other things. But basically, that's the sort of thing we did, just to give you a general gist. When he was probably 4 or 5, a friend came up to me and said, so-and-so has asked me if he can come back to my place. And I went, oh, has he? Sorry about that. She said, no, that's fine. You know, she had some other children. They'd love to have him. And then she said, and when I said yes, he went, can I stay the night? And I went, oh, really? She said, and that's fine too. But when I said yes to that, you know, she said, if your mum says so, of course. And then when I said that, he went, can I stay the week? And I went, I don't think we have to pray about him being shy anymore. And that's what's happened. So it wasn't, you could say he was born shy. That's unfair. No, I don't know why he was like that. And I could be the fool, could be whatever reason, but he's no longer that. And he's very thankful that he's not like that. Because he can face the world, he can stand up tall, and he can lead, and God will use him mightily. So don't give me, I can't do this because I'm English. Or I might start going, oh yes, you will. You know, I won't. But you know what I'm saying. We have to choose how we respond. We can't let our past dictate, because you know what? You're not allowed to do that, because you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and some of us haven't walked into the new in some areas of our lives. Some of us have not taken on board the freedom we've been given. You know, it's like some people have a hip replacement operation and they've hobbled forever, and they have a hip replacement and they hobble the same or even more. And I've seen that when people get healed, you know, God heals their legs or knees or whatever. Sometimes it's instantaneous because God takes care of all the muscles and everything, but sometimes they've been healed and they still hobble, just like with hip replacement. And they have to train their body. They have to actually say, no, you don't have to walk like that anymore. You've been healed. Your hip won't hurt. In fact, it's a new one. And some people do it really quickly because they go, okay, I can push my body because the doctor says it's not going to hurt anymore and I need to stand up tall and use what I've been given. And some of us just are in such the habit is so long that it takes time. And apparently for some people, they never walk properly, not because they can't, but because they think they can't or they don't make the effort and train themselves to now walk properly again. You know, Joyce Meyer often talks about we can't have any stinking thinking. You know, and that really is the truth. You know, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, often we think, you know, we'll just have to read the Bible and that'll transform. It helps. You have to know what's in there. But it's us who have to renew our minds. God will help us. He'll enable us. The Holy Spirit will teach us. He will train us. But we have to do the retraining. We are the ones who have to choose what thoughts we look to and what we reject. We have to go, no, I'm no longer like that. You know, you hear people say all the time, oh, I've always been like that. Well, you don't have to stay there. That's the truth. In God, we are a new creation. We don't have to always be anything, in fact. We can always be victorious. Amen. We can always enter his presence. And some of us takes a while longer to start to feel his presence, but doesn't mean it's not there. Are you going to, you know, I think that's really important. Some of you don't really necessarily feel his presence. Ian and I, before we had kids, we were really involved in the revival and lots of stuff was happening. And he would be on the floor, spread out, anything. And I'd be there, and everyone would go down there on the floor, you know what I mean? Laugh, cry, do anything. Everyone would go down, and I'd be going. And the enemy was going, see, you must have done something wrong. See, it ain't ever going to happen to you. See, I mean, I'd go up for prayer and Ian would come to support me and be, you know, if this is me, he'd be here. Like he started here and he'd get further, further behind. And then he stopped coming altogether because I'd be being prayed for and he'd be on the floor. Do I get that? No. Do I understand why God allowed that to happen for so long? No. Did that mean God wasn't with me? No. But it was a battle in my mind to go, no, if I was doing something wrong, God would show me because I'm after his heart. I'm after anything God wants me to do. I will obey anything he says and I will do anything he tells me to do. And my heart's desire was always to walk pure before him, to be mighty in spirit and pure in heart. Now, you can't have that and have a life that's full of sin without knowing. You know, like we can tell ourselves wrong things, but I know that my heart was for him and that the littlest thing that I did wrong, I was really quick to repent. Because that's how God trained me. I was the only Christian in my family. I had to really stand strong. And so that was part of my training. Do you know what I mean? But the enemy would come, even with that, and go, see, you're no good. See, you must have done. I'm just sharing that to let you get it. Some of us go through a longer journey of having to work through that. But Bill talks about how the journey between what we pray and our answer, that sometimes we stop just one step short. Because whatever God has for us, there's a training ground. And whatever we're learning through that phase of, I don't get it, God, and I don't like it, I would like some of that, please. You know, more God. I'm so glad I didn't stop asking for more. I'm so glad that I kept persevering. And at this phase in our lives, I'm probably more likely to be touched and feel something than Ian. Yes. So if there's an area of your life that you suddenly think, I'm not full of hope in this area, then it's time to start going, what am I believing? Very good. Very good. Or if we feel fear about an area, what am I believing? Because as somewhat the best definition for fear that I think is false evidence appearing real. It is a lie. It is untrue, no matter how it feels. And we need to learn to just laugh at that. You know, there's Steve Buckland talks about let's just laugh at that, and he had 45 lies that God showed him he was believing and dealing with it. There's actually a book called that, which is worth getting. But we need to declare truth. You know those songs? You can read your Bible, you can sing a song, but be thinking of. Sometimes you're singing all these things, which isn't, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're just worshipping and your spirit's worshipping, you don't have to always be thinking about what you're saying and singing. But if you're trying to retrain your mind, it helps to think about the words you're singing. Because we need to get truth into our hearts and spirits, and we need to obey truth. We need to know that God is good, that he is trustworthy. We don't have all the answers. I have this box that I go, I don't understand that, God. Awaiting further revelation. You know, and sometimes the hardest time to believe that is when we're going through a really hard time and a loss or a grievance or something at work's happening. But we need to choose to go, no, God is good. And he promises that he'll work all things together for good. I don't know how you're going to do this, God. If I didn't believe him for all this, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be back at home and it'd be sunny and warm. There are some advantages to that. But we need to make those declarations. And At first, they're going to seem false. Do you know what I'm saying? At first, when you make those declarations, they're not. You're going to go, I don't know if I believe that. Then you have to go, no, the Bible says that. God says that. I trust him. It's true. I may not feel it's true right now for me today, but I will declare that until I feel that, because my spirit leads, not my mind and not my emotions.
Very good. Yes.
Very good.
That's what we have to get to. We have to get to the point where the engine is our spirit, where the engine is God's truth and who he is, his faithfulness, his character, his love, his peace, his joy, has to drive the rest of us. And we have to sometimes start with the body. The spirit is telling us the truth already, and we have to make the body respond appropriately. You know, we have to say, I will still choose you, God. I don't understand, but I will still choose you. There's different areas that we need to work on. For some of us, it's forgiveness. You know, the Bible tells us that we have to forgive our enemies. We have to forgive anyone. Now, if you go away with nothing, but you go, the manual is for me, Bible instructions are for my good, for my benefit, then all these things will be easier. Like forgiving somebody. How many times have someone really hurt you, done something, and you go, I'm never going to forgive them. They can pay. Who's paying? Really? You know, when you don't forgive, who's the one with the heart problems and who's the one with anxiety? And God tells us to forgive because it sets us free. And then it leaves that person under God to take care of. Right? So if all these things are for my benefit, then I need to choose to do that. Now, Ian and I did a lot of youth ministry. We have seen God do amazing things, especially among girls who've been abused. And at times when we've asked them, you need to forgive that person, we go, you know what? You need to forgive that person. But if I was you, I'd just want to punch their lights out right now. Because that's how it's made us feel. Imagine how they feel, right? And the truth is that we need to choose to forgive, because we can't be free until we do. So people have told us, even people in ministry have said, that's really mean. And we go, okay, so God is mean? Because God told us we have to forgive people. And actually, I think it's very loving. But we've said to people, look, you don't have to do it right now. If I was you, I don't know if I could. And you know what? You don't even have to feel like forgiving. And you don't have to have any feeling of forgiveness when you do that, because there's power in words. What you declare is what God brought this whole world into being by his words. We don't give our words enough credit. There is power, because we are made in the image of God. When we speak, stuff happens. And that's the truth. So I can say, God, I don't feel like it. In fact, right now I'd like to punch so-and-so's lights out. And I wish they'd just pay. I wish they'd suffer. I wish I could just go, Let's be honest. But God, because you said that I have to forgive anyone, today I choose to forgive so-and-so. And I leave them in your hands. And the freedom that it brings and the joy that it brings is amazing, because we're acting in truth and we're being set free. These girls have been amazing. We saw it with one girl who'd had this ongoing thing. She was 16 at the time. She'd been seeing psychiatrists and psychologists since she was 4. And it was within the family, so it was not an immediate family, but very close family. And she chose, after she did this, and she gave her heart to the Lord, and she forgave her grandfather, actually. She said to her dad, who was a minister, I want to go and see granddad. That's how much freedom forgiving brought. And then he came up to us afterwards and said, I have some work to do now. I did not want to take my daughter to see my dad. And I thought, I can understand that. But 5 years later, some really close friends of them became pastors in the church. We were youth pastors. And he hunted us down the second he landed. And he said, do you remember such and such a family? And we said, yes. Her parents want you to know she has never looked back. She has never seen a psychologist or psych, psychiatrist or psychologist since. We're in good relationship with Granddad, and she's been to Bible college and she's leading our youth ministry. All because God is true. And somehow they'd missed it. You know, I mean, I can understand Dad not wanting to lead his daughter to forgive Dad. You know what I mean? It's too involved. But it took someone outside, and we'd been involved in a lot of that sort of work because we did youth camps and stuff. So you can imagine we got to speak to a lot more people than the average Joe blog. And we were able to lead her and not only into the kingdom, but into forgiveness and into freedom. It's for our good. Amen. You know, and I don't know the further situation. I don't know what happened with Granda or anything, but it was enough that she was free. And look what God was able to do because she obeyed, because she was willing to. And it costs us sometimes, doesn't it? Like for some of us who this is easy to, doesn't cost much, but maybe getting up and speaking in front of people does, right? There's different things that in the Christian walk that we're asked to do that don't quite fit. And it's asked of all of us, and we all struggle with things. It's just they don't all look the same. So for some of us, it'll be easier to next week go, okay, I'll try it. And for some of us, it'll be like, okay, God. This doesn't feel much fun right now. Do you know what I'm saying? But let's train ourselves. Let's make sure that what we're thinking is good and that we try and catch the thoughts that will set us free. Right. One more thing. Hey. I will flick you an email with some of these because I don't have time and we're going out. But I've got three examples of the book, Let's Just Laugh at That. And I was going to read through one of them in detail, but I won't. One of them is, Let's Just Laugh at This Lie. I cannot fulfill my call because of the people in my life. Then it goes, it talks about the assumptions behind, and the truth is many godly ones have overcome difficult people. And there's some ways to get there. There's another one going, there are no solutions to this situation. And the truth is, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. The third one, I cannot fulfill... Oh, no, that's the second one. That's the one I was going to start at. It is not my personality to be joyful or to laugh much. I like that one. The truth, we all can and all need to walk in abundant joy and laughter. So I will send that email because it says some of the lies and some of the things you can replace it with just to get you started. But you know what? I mean, I think I've talked about before, Roland and Heidi, people stop supporting them because Roland laughs too much. You know, I mean, God got him and when you see Roland, you know, that people talk about him having the Tigger anointing. Yeah? Wing, wing. And he really is like that. And I can always tell. I can actually, because I spent some time with Roland. One time we were watching a DVD and I was looking at what's happening. I said to Ian, Roland must be in that room. And we went, I wonder if Roland's speaking. And the speaker got up and I went, oh, I must have been wrong. Because it was some other speaker. It was at one of the ministry schools. And then they pan out and I see Roland. I went, that's right. Roland's in that room. Just because I know, you know what I mean? You get to know how people's anointing work and everything. And I was saying, the type of life I can feel and laughter, like lots of people carry that. Don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, it's not the sole property of Roland, except I've had a lot of time with him. But just the way I could pick it up that it was Roland and the way God ministers to Roland that was bringing that life and laughter. And other people will do it as well, but it's just different. And I may not pick it up because I don't know them as well. But on a DVD, I pick that up just by people's reactions. We all need much more law. And he says, how can I keep ministering if I don't laugh? You know, they face death. They face so many things every single day of their lives there. And if they didn't rely on the joy of the Lord, which is their strength, they would have quit a long time ago. We need joy. You know, God says laugh because we need it. Our bodies get released, get free if we laugh. And I don't know if you've been in a room when you have come in, you've been grumpy, and people start laughing, and you're going, I'm not laughing, I'm not laughing. Everyone's going, and suddenly you're going, you know, it's contagious, right? It is. You know, and laughter brings more laughter. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about it, is that when God creates this laughter, everybody starts laughing, even the people who need it most can enter in, because we've chosen to be free enough to let God let us laugh. Now, I may not have felt like it when I arrived, but that's one of the things that I often will carry, is joy and laughter. And I might have come in, you know, with all that stuff, and God will touch me, and one of the things I'll bring is I'll start to laugh because God has brought that for me. And then other people start. But it's only started because I allowed God to let that happen to me, even though I didn't feel like it. So we can all do that for one another. We can all choose to walk in truth. And you know, your truth, the truth sets us free, but it also frees other people around us. Because the river flows, and where the river flows, there's healing for the nations. So let's choose to be people who think well. Let's choose to be people who take in the truth and who set people free, because you're having to walk out that truth that the next person might need. And if you choose to walk in that truth, then you can bring that to the next person next to you, the person who's going to need it. And you know, the thing that helped me the most to do it is that I was talking to Jane, is that God, Satan is not going to get the victory. I may not know exactly what God is doing today, but there's no way I'm letting him win. You know, when it's about me, I can stay there defeated. But when I really realize that the battle is I either let devil or God win, that really is the truth in the end. The truth is, one side wins whenever we decide. Because they're both after our hearts. They're both after our hearts. And we might think that it's just me, but it's not. You're in a battle, whether you like it or not, and you're either going to let God win in that situation, or you're going to let the enemy win. And when it comes to that, it's much easier to choose, for me anyway, because there's no way I'm giving him anything. He already stinks out my life, more than I'd like to him to. And God has done everything. He's paid everything. And I will choose to honor him. And so how my body reacts and what I make myself do will bring one or the other honor and glory. And that's the truth. Isn't that a scary thought? But that is the truth. We choose who wins. It's our choice, because God has given us freedom to choose, because he wants our devotion freely given. So let's choose to honor God by our thoughts this week, and to not go, I'm just like that, or I'm no good. No, I don't feel very good this morning, God. And I don't feel like I'm much help. But you've said that you've made me to carry your life, and I will carry that today. Please flow through me and touch people, because you can, even when I can't. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you love me so much. You love us so much. I thank you that you've given us your book, that the spirit of the book will set us free if we choose to follow and obey. And Father, I ask that by your spirit, you've said you've given us your spirit to be our comforter and guide. And I pray for each one of us this week, Lord, that you'd help us catch our thoughts, that our thoughts would bring you glory, because we choose to agree with the truth, to the glory of Jesus and to the freedom of this world and neighborhood. In Jesus' name. Amen.